It's the 1st of October, the Twin Cities Marathon, and I had to look it up, but it's the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. It's time for my post-Pentecost slump. The season after Pentecost is a season in which we ask, how do we live our life following a resurrected Jesus with a hope of his return? I love the church year, and yet we're in a time that's long, when I get a little twitchy, tired of the color green, and narratively disoriented by our lectionary. And so as I began to read the gospel that Rena just read, I really needed to delve into where it fits in our Christian narrative. It's a post-Palm Sunday reading. Jesus has already ridden into Jerusalem triumphantly on a donkey. Things are heating up. The day before, he was at Jerusalem's temple with the big T, throwing out people, buying and selling, overturning tables, making a scene. Today, on his way back to the temple, Jesus is hungry. He curses a fig tree that he passes that has no fruit on it, because he wanted to eat at that moment, and the fig tree dies. Now, there's ample scholarship on the symbolism of this act. However, for our purposes today, I think it's enough to say Jesus was in a mood. Jesus has finally reached Jerusalem, which also means that he knows he is reaching his death on a cross. He knows that his time to teach those who are following him is drawing to an end. And there's an urgency in that. There's also a notoriety in his actions. Here is where today's gospel enters. With questions from the chief priests and elders, they ask him, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you that authority?" Jesus, not one to shy away, responds with another question. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? The chief priests and elders don't know how to answer this. If they say one thing happens. If they say another thing happens. They're going to lose faith, and so they say, "We don't know." Then Jesus asks to who we assume is a crowd surrounding them as they have this verbal match, "What do you think?" A father had two sons in a vineyard. He asked them both to go work in the vineyard. One son said no and went. One son said yes and didn't go. Which of the two did the will of the father? These questions are firmly situated in that time and place, asked by the people there and heard by the people there. And they are timeless questions for us today, too, as followers of Jesus, questions that we should be asking and asking ourselves. I've shared with many of you my call story to ministry. The short of it is I was sitting by a lake at Chinese camp, had a sense of peace come over me, and felt a call to youth ministry. Well, after that moment, like all holy moments, I had to live life. I had to figure out where my campers were, and then eventually head home. This was right after college, and so I needed to figure out what adult life looks like. I moved in with my parents. I began working at a restaurant to pay some bills, and I interned and I networked with everyone in youth ministry that I could think of. It was a time of a lot of activity, a lot of doing things, and no measurable progress forward. It was clear that if I was going to follow this call, it was going to take me a while, and I didn't know how long that while would be. Several weeks into this, I received another call. This time I was in Byerly's, most likely looking for ice cream. The man on the phone introduced himself as a principal at a charter language school in Ohio. He needed a Chinese teacher, and I had been recommended by the dean of the camp I just worked at. Would I mind speaking to the native Chinese speaker he had standing next to him for a minute? Mentally, I was still trying to catch up, and I said, sure. I had a conversation that I don't remember, and the principal came back on the line and said, "Would you like a job?" It was so quick, it almost felt comical. I slowed down a little bit after that moment and decided to fly out and see the school first. It was a good school. They were great students. It was a good job with valuable work. It offered financial security and a very stable career. To a 22-year-old, it felt very adult-like, like what I should be doing. It wasn't youth ministry. I still remember my own doubt and questions and inner wrestling, questions of authority. Which voices do I listen to? The ones of culture and stability, security, and ideas of what adult life looks like? Or the holy one I thought I heard by a lake? I still remember how nervous I was to tell my incredibly supportive parents that I wasn't taking this job because I didn't feel a sense of call. My sister had told me the whole family thought I would become a teacher during my wrestling process. I still remember the disappointment in the principal's voice when I told him no. I couldn't hide behind the excuse that I had a better offer, that someone else had called too. There was no one. I can stand here today and say I made the right decision, but hindsight is dangerous. At the time, I had no idea, was I making the right decision? The moment before I said no, I completely related to today's second son, who says yes and then doesn't go. We don't know why he didn't go. Maybe he had a good excuse too. Maybe he had an emergency. Maybe a child sick at home. He could have been lazy too. We'll never know. I'm incredibly grateful for that job offer. Afterwards, I didn't have any measurable career advancements for several months, and I didn't have a real job for a year. That offer was the first time I really understood and felt that sometimes following Jesus is incredibly uncomfortable. I had to rely on hope in a loving God. That hope became a disciplined spiritual practice of question and wonder, rather than a thin emotion of inactivity. In today's gospel, I hear Jesus asking each and every one of us to step up as Jesus' followers, to be accountable for our actions, to ask the questions of ourselves that we hear asked in this gospel or implied. By what authority are you doing these things in your life? And who gave you this authority? What do you think? In this situation, which son are you? Also, in today's gospel, I hear Jesus asking each and every one of us to be honest that sometimes we are those temple priests, questioning Jesus' authority, stuck in the comfort of status quo. We too need to hear the questions that cause discomfort, that break us open, that help us change, that look for the possibility of God's will in our life. Our questions may not be about John the Baptist and his baptism. Maybe they sound more like our baptismal covenant. Are you seeking Christ in all others, loving your neighbor as yourself? Or why and whom are you breaking the bread with? We know they're holy questions when they open us up to a stance of curiosity that allows conversation and listening, that allows God to move in our life rather than stay put. The beauty of Jesus' questions is that they are not calling us to be right. They are calling us as his followers to far greater things, to be transformed over and over again. And that is good news. This week, I invite you to ask these questions or other questions that open you to the possibility of the holy. Share your answers, maybe with those sitting next to you, a friend, a neighbor, your journal. Share your doubts and listen. And ask the questions again.